you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the crowd, "No one who lights a lamp conceals it with a vessel or sets it under a bed. Rather, he places it on a lampstand so that all who enter may see the light. There is nothing hidden that will not become visible, nothing secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. To anyone who has, more will be given. From the one who has not, even what he seems to have will be taken away." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus in today's Gospel makes three affirmations that might seem initially unconnected. When you understand their context, you see how they help us to grasp and live what he was preaching to us on Saturday morning in the parable of the sower and the seed, about the type of receptivity we're supposed to have to God's words in our life and his own very life within our day-to-day existence. So let's use each of these to enhance that essential parable of the sower and the seed, help us to become more receptive, and help us to hear the word of God as a word to be done, as a fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum. First of the three affirmations Jesus makes, no one lights a lamp and conceals it under a bed or within a vessel, or in St. Matthew's Gospel, under a bushel basket. Rather, he places it on a lampstand so that all who enter may see the light. We're supposed to listen to the word of God in such a way that it's going to radiate through us. It's not supposed to be received as our secret little communication between Jesus and us, where there is no external impact of it. Jesus wants us to receive the illumination and the warmth that he's given us in such a way that we can pass on that light and that heat to a world that needs both. If we're not listening in such a way that we can share what we've heard by our lips, by our thoughts, by our actions, then we're not listening the right way. This is one advantage. There's a disadvantage to it, but there's one advantage to being a priest who preaches every day to the sisters of life. Because every time I hear anything, every time that I'm praying, every time I'm going over, I'm always flipping it into how it's supposed to change my life and how it's supposed to change what I preach. Always listening is a word to be sheared. The disadvantage is sometimes we can be focused so much on the apostolic dimension that we can lose the following dimension. We're supposed to first live it and let it stop and resonate there. But we should all listen to the word of God as a word that in transforming us is meant to transform the world. That's the way real revolution occurs. Second, Jesus says, there's nothing hidden that will not become visible, and nothing secret that will not be known and come to light. It's a general rule about everything coming to the surface at the general resurrection. All our small little deeds done out of love for the Lord that nobody else will see. The patience we have towards someone who drives us nuts, which not even that person's aware that she sanctifies us rather than mortifies us. All of those will be known. Likewise, our infidelities that are not seen and known by anybody in the world, those too will come to light. But again, the context here is specifically about our listening. A lot of the times we can be looking straight at the one talking. From the outside, the person might even see our pupils dilating in such a way that we will give the impression that we're paying great attention. My brother Scott was one of the greatest educational sycophants you have ever seen. Scott would sit in the front pew. His eyes would be affixed on the preacher. No matter what the teacher was saying, he would nod his head every once in a while. So the teachers always loved my brother. He was a good student too. And he was kind. But he had perfected the art of seeming to pay attention, no matter even if his concentration was really beyond the planet Neptune. Sometimes we can do that too. Our head can be directed toward the right place. Our eyes will be open. Every once in a while we'll crack a smile. We may even nod ahead. But we're not there. We're just kind of going through the motions. We don't recognize that every word that drops from the Lord's mouth has the power to save, that it contains the words of eternal life. So Jesus wants us to grasp that when we are striving to pay attention, even when we've gotten a terrible night's sleep, and when we're fighting incredibly not to show it and to pay attention, he sees and he will reward us and it'll all come to light. On the flip side, even when we're doing all the right things externally, if our heart is distracted, for example, by one of those thorns that the Lord described, the worldly cares and anxiety, the lure of riches, the fear of pain, if we really get superficial soil, if we're just looking to have our mind or our heart tickled for a little while so that we'd like it to not be bored, when we're really stubborn toward the Word of God, when we're blowing things off in which the Lord is really talking ministerially through the instrumentality of someone else, that too will come to the surface. So let's make that resolution to really secretly and visibly pay very close attention, because the Lord and His Word deserve it. Take care then how you hear, Jesus says. Be preoccupied. Be almost obsessed about the way you're listening to the Word of God. Would that it be great that the angels and the saints, especially our guardian angel, would be able to say about each of us that we're obsessed about the Word of God. That we, like Mary of Bethany, hang on Jesus' every word. To take care how we hear. To examine how we hear. Are we in the right posture so that we can pay attention better? Do we listen in such a way in which we're really trying to remember it? I think I've only done it once with you before because I'm really in love very much with y'all. But what I used to do when I was at the Domus Sancti Maria Guadalupensis as a baby deacon and a baby priest in Rome, it's just whenever anything came up about the Word of God, I would just test the sisters. Sisters, what was the responsorial psalm today that we repeated 5 times? And then all of a sudden you'd see their heads go down. Could you remember one of the proverbs that God announced to us today? Oh yeah, by the way, what was yesterday's second reading on Sunday that was supposed to transform our life for the whole week? You know, what was happening in those circumstances where not even the Carmelites could get it was that they were listening, but they weren't listening the way we would listen, as I like to say to high schoolers. As if I said, in the backyard, there's a buried treasure full of gold coins. I'm sorry that you have no writing instruments, but there are 17 steps to find it. Pay attention. Those kids would pay attention to every step because they would want the gold. And we need to listen even better to the Word of God, to take care how we hear, so that we listen in a way in which that Word will take on our flesh. To anyone who has, Jesus concludes, more will be given. From the one who has not, even what he seems to have will be taken away. Again, this is a general principle of life and of the spiritual life. If we exercise the muscles will grow. If we never exercise, they'll atrophy. If we practice the piano or an instrument, we'll get better. If we never practice, eventually some of the art will disappear. If we study, we'll retain the material. If we never study, it's going to be very hard for our absorption of it to last. But Jesus, again, is giving this in the context of how we hear His Word of God. To those of us who hear well, we'll hear more in a better way, in a way with a far deeper impact. But for those of us who don't take care of how we hear, who aren't listening in a way in which our action will be affected, those seeds that the Lord plants will be snatched away by the birds of the air, who symbolize what the devil wants to do with the Word of God. I've gotten into a habit. I think it's a good one. When I celebrate the old form of the Latin Rite at St. Agnes every few Sundays, their tradition there is to pray the prayer of St. Michael immediately after the Gospel. So I always introduce the prayer of St. Michael in these or similar words. And now let us kneel and turn to St. Michael and prevent what the devil wants to do, which is to get us to forget what Jesus has just preached as quickly as possible. St. Michael the Archangel. The devil's trying to get you to forget what I'm saying right now. Trying to get you not to care how you hear. Trying to just to say, we heard Father Landry on the 25th Monday of Ordinary Time last year. Didn't make much of a difference. What's it going to do this year? The devil wants that. But we've got to fight against it. And sisters, the great joy of having Mass so early in the morning is it will make us fighters for this. So, why don't you say we apply these words of Jesus? To take care of how we hear. To listen to the Lord's word as if it's light for us to shine to others. To listen in such a way that we know our interior attitudes, not just our actions, will be known to all. And to let those listening muscles grow to become almost superhuman. Today we begin just one of 3 days in the church's 2-year liturgical cycle of the book of Proverbs. And because on Wednesday we'll have the Feast of St. Matthew and have a proper reading, we'll only have 2 days of the book of Proverbs in 2 years. No, I can sense how disappointed you are because of the power of this Word of God. And it's interesting that the church, out of all of those chapters, chooses just 3 little passages. So they're well chosen. How are we going to listen as words to be done what we have today? First, refuse no one the good on which he has a claim when it's in your power to do it for him. Say not to your neighbor, go and come again tomorrow, we'll give, when you can give it once. God, through the inspired author, wants us to act with alacrity whenever somebody's in need. If we have something that can be given, God really does not want us to stymie someone, but to respond with love at the moment, because there may be no tomorrow for that person or for us. How many times as a priest I've heard the regrets of folks where they didn't say what they needed to say, where they didn't do what they had been intending to do, and then time ran out, bawling their eyes out, whether it was saying I love you to a family member or I'm sorry, or whether it was returning something to someone that had been borrowed before the person was visited by God, whatever it is, God wants us to respond with a certain promptness. And we see that, by the way, in the gospel. The daughter of Jairus, or when Jairus came to see Jesus, said, "Come, my daughter's at the point of death." Jesus didn't tarry. He went. So many other miracles show Jesus' prompt response. Jesus wants us to respond to his request from others in disguise as quickly as we can. In the same way that we would want to say to him, "Here I am, Lord, send me. I'm ready." To respond starting like the apostles at the seashore when Jesus said, "Come, follow me." There are going to be times when we're prevented from doing something. There are going to be times in which we want to help someone who is a little spoiled grow in patience. But for the most part, when we delay, it's a sign of our spiritual life, because we don't really grasp that it's the Lord who's asking when the person's in need, and we think we can wait for tomorrow. There's a certain urgency to our relationship with the Lord, and clearly to our doing charity. And that's the first thing that the Lord wants us to pay attention to, how we're hearing. Second, plot no evil against your neighbor, against the one who lives at peace with you. Quarrel not with a man without cause, one who has done you no harm. A lot of the times we're a little combative. We look for the points of disagreement. The Holy Spirit is inspiring the sacred author to say, no, on the inside, everything is going to be brought to light. Plot no evil. If somebody's good to you, love the person back. Don't argue, unless you have a cause to argue, especially with someone who has done you no harm. Be ready to say yes. Be ready to agree. A lot of the times we accentuate our own individuality, our own identity in opposition. We always want to say yes, but. We always want to stand out. It's a lack of humility in many of us. Jesus, I keep doing this, but ultimately he is the Word made flesh, and this is what he did. God is saying that we need to be prone, we need to be ready and alert always to concord with others rather than to be a discordant note. Third, envy not the lawless man, choose none of his ways, for the Lord's friendship is with the upright. Some of the times, even in religious life, we can envy the one who's a little disobedient, the one who's sassy, who knows how to say no, the one who others fear on occasion, who's able to get her own way. Other times, in the middle of the world, we can be envious of some of the people who've had sinful experiences, people who have lived, in quotation marks. God wants us not to envy any of that stuff. To recognize his friendship is with the upright. And that if we're upright, if we're constantly lifting up our hearts to him, if we're able to stand in the Lord's presence by his mercy, then we are blessed. We have no reason to envy anybody who has walked down the path of sin. And as Saint Therese says, that even if we grasp on one level that the sinners have received, it seems more mercy so that they've been able to love the Lord more. Like St. Paul would say, that because I used to do this and I was born as a spontaneous abortion, because I was dead, I have worked harder than all the rest because of the mercy shown me. We can sometimes say that person's received even more mercy than I have. And so maybe I ought to be a little jealous. But Le Petit Fleur says the exact opposite. She's a doctor of the church. She says, if we haven't sinned, it's not because we were better, but because in a sense, God's mercy in our life was prevenient. He knew our weakness, and he flooded us with so much mercy that we didn't choose to sin. God's friendship is with the upright, so that we first recognize that, and then we hear this as a word to be proclaimed to others in a very positive way. Finally, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the just. He's stern with the arrogant, but to the humble he shows kindness. He's stern with the arrogant out of mercy, not out of anger. He has to be, because as Mary would proclaim in her Magnificat, he throws down the mighty from their thrones, so that they might recognize that he's God, that they're not God. But to the humble he shows kindness. He lifts up the humble. So hearing this as a word to be done, we express gratitude to the Lord where he's knocked us off our pedestals on occasion. But we also beg him for the grace to be humble so that we might see his kindness and incarnate that kindness. Final application today is, I know you're just at the edge of your seat, hanging on every syllable of the Word of God, is to San Gennaro, St. Januarius, our saint today. He is a bishop at the time of Diocletian, was hearing the Lord's Word, his Word to be done, and it gave him so much strength and allowed him to be a source of fortitude and light for the people under the most ferocious of the 13 anti-Christian persecutions prior to the legalization of Christianity. He heard Jesus' words when Jesus said, "Fear not those who can kill the body but can't kill the soul." He heard Jesus' words when he said, "Blessed are you when you're persecuted for the sake of my name." He heard Jesus' words when he said, "Unless you pick up your cross each day and follow me, you cannot be my disciple." He acted on Jesus' words. He paid attention to the way he was hearing when Jesus said, "Unless you become like a grain of wheat, you will have no life, but if you die, you will bear much fruit." He heard Jesus' words when Jesus said, "Those who seek to save their life will lose it, but those who lose it for my sake will save it." He heard Jesus' words when Jesus said, "If you acknowledge me before others, I will acknowledge you before my Heavenly Father." He heard Jesus' words and followed them when Jesus said, "Love one another as I have loved you, and no one has greater love than to lay down his life for his friends." Just as Jesus had laid down his life for his friend Januarius, Januarius reciprocated that loving self-offering for his friend Jesus. Pay attention to how you hear. Today, as we come forward, we thank the Lord for the grace to hear and act on his words from the Last Supper. "Do this in memory of me." Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.